Hello, listeners and viewers. This is Ron Stefanski with yet another episode of Disrupt Ed, where we talk to those seemingly ordinary humans who turn out in our conversations to be quite extraordinary humans doing things that impact the lives of the rest of us. And today we have an extraordinary honor to host Major General Johnny Davis from the Recruiting Command in Fort Knox, Kentucky. And we're going to be talking about the topic we often talk about on Disrupt Ed, which is all the forces that are converging to make talent the number one business imperative across every industry. Now, think about this. If we have a talent shortage in a company, that impacts their growth. But what happens when we have a talent shortage or recruiting challenge in the military? At a time of increased global conflict, we rely on our military to serve our nation's interests. And today you're going to hear firsthand from the Major General about the challenges of bringing quality over quantity into the armed forces, and specifically the Army. And you're going to hear firsthand about some of the things they're doing that are really quite extraordinary in terms of growing that talent and developing that talent over a lifetime. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce you all to Major General Johnny Davis. Major General, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, first of all, good morning, good afternoon to all our listeners out there. I just want to say what a pleasure it is to be part of this the special podcast this morning. You know, I have the opportunity to do so once every a couple weeks. I look forward to it, to really not only share my story, again, as a ordinary citizen like everyone else who choose to, you know, buck the system and really get out there and do things differently, which landed me as in service in the United States Army. And I'll tell you, I never thought after 33 plus years, I would still be in uniform, loving what I do, and even having some of my own children in uniform. So, sir, again, thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
No, we're excited. And I'm wearing two hats today. So not only am I the podcast host of Disrupt Ed, but I also serve as a chief community affairs officer for the Alliance for Adult Education. And we think it's so important that we help people have access to education. And the military plays such an extraordinary role in this, because once you enlist, you have access to a lifetime of educational resources and opportunities. And this is so important at a time when our economy requires people to take their game up, frankly. And we need more sophisticated learners out there who are taking on more skills, more experience to fill the jobs of the 21st century. So, Major General, let's start from the beginning. You describe yourself as aw shucks guy from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but I think our audience would benefit from hearing a little bit about your origin story and what brought you first and foremost into the military and then a lifelong career in the military.
Well, thanks. And again, yes, born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, St. Joseph's Hospital. My grandfather, was also from Milwaukee, and he lived off of the north side. And I spent a lot of time growing up. My father was a high school teacher at Riverside High School in Milwaukee. So I'm connected, just like everyone else is, across their communities in America. But one thing I always remember was my grandfather, as a young, grade schooler, and, maybe 5 to 6 to 11 years old, I spent a lot of time with him in his garden. And I always wanted to know why he took the time to do that. Well, after he served in World War II, he promised himself that he would return home and start a garden. So a quarter of the yard on the north side of Milwaukee was a full up garden. He even built a little fence around it. But we grew so much. But in that time, he taught me about the importance of service, dignity and respect, teaching others, investing in others, helping others to succeed. And he always talked about his friends, those that served alongside him in the United States Army, because he deployed in 42 and did not return until the war was over, and he was in the European theater. And he always talked about that. Even though he came home and started another job in Milwaukee, and he worked for 35 years, I didn't know much about that job, but I knew about his military service. So with that, as I grew older, went off to Wisconsin Lutheran High School. And one day I sat with him and I said, I'm really thinking about, you know, your journey and I like to pursue the same. And so he says, hey, I think you have what it takes. Absolutely. You can either enlist or you can, you know, go off and join an ROTC. Of course, I didn't know all of these different things. So you can go into enlist or go in on the path to become an officer. And he pretty much convinced me. He says, hey, the investment that our nation makes in you is unbelievable. And the Army or any service will help pay for college. I was like, really? And absolutely, they did. So I took the path of Reserve Officer Training Corps, and the Army helped invest in me to help pay for school. Not just stop there. Throughout my journey, the Army's put me through two master's degrees program. I have used tuition assistance while on active duty. I've transferred some of my GI Bill to my own kids who are in college right now. My oldest daughter is a West Point grad. Second daughter joined the Marine. Used her tuition assistance and GI Bill to graduate college. It's unbelievable, the investment. And I just share so much with each and every one of you. I'm just like you. And I didn't know exactly where my path would lead to, but I knew service was so very important. And sir, thanks for asking that question, because I love to share my story because I'm just like everyone else.
Your enthusiasm is contagious. And I think it's so important because nowhere, as I suggested at the outset of this show, is it more important that we get the talent imperative right when it comes to the military. And as you took on this role, heading up the recruiting effort for the U.S. Army, you know, I think it's important. We talked about this before the show, but your mantra is crush it. And so we wanted to crush it on this show, but you also want to crush it when it comes to recruiting. And you faced a serious number of headwinds in the recruiting arena over the last couple of years since your appointment. And I think it's important for those that are listening and viewing our show to hear about some of the talent challenges that face our U.S. Armed Services.
Yeah, yes, sir. And thanks for that. And let me tell you, going back to your original statement, this is a very volatile world. I've been in over 30 years. I have deployed overseas in multiple locations. You name it. I have served our nation and our Army all over the world. And I love every moment of it. But given that, we see it in the news each and every day. But I also think there's a issue with and other challenges. So awareness. I think there's a, because of the shrinking veteran population, there's two things I think that are going on here. Because of the shrinking veteran population, remember I told you about my Milwaukee story? Well, many of the homeowners were also World War II or Korean War vets. They all got together. I loved it how the camaraderie was built between the homeowners then. But that's not the case now. It's a lower percentage of vets to really answer those questions of our, you know, of our future.
And also to share those stories that kind of inspired you to take up service, right? I mean, you're hearing it constantly. It kind of gets embedded in your consciousness that, wow, this is a noble pursuit. This is a really worthwhile pursuit.
It is. It is. And such a, you know, noble pursuit that I share this often with everyone. The sky is the limit. This, you know, service to our nation is a career accelerator. Again, a kid from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, never thought I would be a major general in the United States Army. I can't even think about that. If you took
that's the American dream writ large, right? It's what we all aspire to, is to have success in our chosen field. And so,
and we want our own our kids to be more successful than us, and that's our investment in them. But you know, you see, you have this awareness issue, and I think because of that awareness issue, there's so many different other, you know, entities out there that are trying to fill that information gap, whether it's social media, whether it's media, it's print, you name it. And that's what I'm trying to help educate. Because let me tell you the questions I get from our nation's youth who will lead us. Hey, General, you know, I'm thinking about the Army, but I heard I can't own a car for the first 3 years. That's not true. Or I'm not paid until I pass, you know, basic or AIT. That's not true. You know, day one, you start receiving pay and benefits when you join the United States Army. So I think that's going on, and that's a big mission for me and my teammates and my recruiters to help educate. And also, you know, another thing that has impacted or made it more challenging is because of COVID, then I had recruiters not in high schools for 2.5 years. That's millions of superstars who are going to lead this nation without being really informed about the power of service to the nation. And so that is one area that I'm trying to get back into the high schools and get our recruiters to really talk with students. Because let me tell you, again, this is a life accelerator. And our focus, just like everywhere else, just like the private industry, we want quality over quantity, period. I think everyone understands that. So even if you're in my position, you know to have quality, because I have a daughter's in the service and I want the same quality to their left and right as they continue to serve, right, just like any other parent.
Right. So when you talk about, you know, joining the military, you talk about immediately coming into pay and benefits. And the "and benefits" is something I want to stay on for a second here, because, you know, a lot of millennials are entering the workforce and they're getting gig work where they're getting part-time work and they're working for large employers, but they're not getting benefits in a time where healthcare costs are rising, education costs are rising. The fact that the Army and the armed services in general are providing, you know, really robust benefits, I think is a big selling point to getting people to consider service in the military, because that's not something that's readily available to everyone. That's not something you can assume when you take on just any job.
Sir, I think you're absolutely right. And two of the biggest benefits are, of course, the medical and dental for the family. That's no cost to the soldier and their families. Now, I remember, you know, my father had to pay a portion of his pay for our medical insurance. And that's a real expense in today's society. My friends that I grew up with have, you know, talked to me about that all the time. I don't see that, that cost. That is part of our service. Housing, and we are really doing a lot to invest in housing to even make it better. I mean, I've been in a long time. I've lived in housing that has now been replaced with new housing, and that's great. And then, of course, food allowance, in addition to our normal pay and benefits. And if you think about it, you know, I know sometimes a lot get caught up on the initial pay. I think the initial pay may be $24,000 for a young private, but when you include all the benefits, it's almost a $50,000 pay package for somebody that's really 18 years old. And so that continues on. And as you continue in your journey as a service member, let me tell you, it only goes up. So, you know, a sergeant or a staff sergeant, all of these are real, you know, increases. So I think next month in 2024, we'll get one of the biggest pay raises in 20 years. This is real. The nation's investment in the service right now is a big deal. And I share this with you, and I would ask all to really just, in terms of awareness, do your homework and see and compare and contrast with other, you know, companies, because I think, you know, service in the Army is a, like I said, a career accelerator. And if you do 5 or 6 years, you go off, the GI Bill pays for college. You tell me an employer who would not want to hire you right away. My daughter did 8 years in the Marine Corps, used her GI Bill benefits, and then immediately was hired onto another job immediately. I mean, matter of fact, you have multiple, you know, little offers. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Now, you've been talking a lot about crushing it and at the same time providing an opportunity and a mission to hire quality over quantity. And I had the privilege of listening in on a webinar that you had conducted some time ago talking about this. And one of the things that I found riveting was the story about your promotion and deployment of the Future Soldiers program. And so, you know, once you get someone coming in, it's safe to say that for many, without sounding cynical about the labor force, but many find that a number of the people that they hired are not up to snuff. They're not quite ready for the job that they're taking on. And the military finds this to be the case any more than any, you know, just as much as any other employer. But you saw fit to develop this Future Soldiers program. And I want to hear about that, because that to me seems like another step on top of just the general educational support that the services provide.
Yeah, thanks for that, sir. And this is transformational in what I'm going to explain. So let's start off with the context. If you look at those who are eligible to serve, that's a declining number in the nation. And I think right now, only about 23 or 24% are really qualified to serve. Now, of that amount, only a certain percentage, maybe 10 or 11%, have the propensity or the desire to serve in the military. So if you really think about that, we couldn't keep this. We saw this number going down over the years. And so why stand by and watch this number or this percentage decline? So what we decided to do as an Army is to invest in this population who are fully qualified, but based off of their physical or academic where they are, we just needed some additional investment in them to get them to a higher qualification. That's why I say quality over quantity. So what is the course? The course is the Future Soldier Prep course at Fort Jackson, South Carolina right now. And General Kelly and his team, we have dedicated, I think, three different organizations focused on the academic, the physical, and then the academic and physical combined. So let me give you an idea. So transformational and highly successful, over 10,000 graduates in the regular Army just in the last 14 months. 14,000 total, because we also opened it to the National Guard, because that we're all in this together. So from an academic standpoint, let's say someone takes the Army qualification exam and they score just above the minimum. I mean, of course, they're qualified, but it's still low. So we think, hey, that maybe there's something going on out there in the environment. Maybe it's just a bad testing day. So what we did was let's test this hypothesis and invest in this team and bring them in on conditional enlistment. And we'll train them on regular. We have an outside agency that comes in and talk and brings them into the classroom and teaches them sentence structure, mathematics, all the basic things. This is not, military teaching, our future, the test. This is an outside agency in a structured environment. So now we have a structured environment. They do physical training. They have meals, a healthy diet each and every day. It's all of those things together. And what we found out is within less than 2 to 3 weeks, from an academic, their point increase on the exam is 18 to 20 points. This is transformational from the
That is a big number. Repeat that number again.
18.
That's a statement worth repeating.
So if you have an average of, a 35 on exam, I mean, you're certainly in the zone, but now you're talking 20 points. You've now put yourself in the highest category with a 20-point increase. And that's the quality that we are talking about. So we knew the quality was always there. We just are investing in it. So let's go to the physical side. So those that may be overweight, just, say 2%. So let's bring them in. Let's invest in them. Let's give them a structured environment. Let's teach them about proper diet and, taking care of themselves. Let's talk about physical fitness. I mean, when you discuss diet, they have access to all the same meals I have in the mess hall. There's no special meals. These are just teaching them as part of this environment to really take care of themselves from a physical standpoint and always better themselves. To an average, what we learned within a few weeks' time, that the average body fat loss per week was 1 to 1.3%. Transformational success.
Wow.
So now that's why we have a 95% pass rate. And I say this is, when I briefed the Senate Armed Services Committee and Army senior leaders, This is what it's all about. This is our investment in this, you know, these superstars that are out there that may not think that they have what it takes. They absolutely do, because I'm that same, you know, kid from Milwaukee, Wisconsin that thought the same thing. They absolutely have what it takes. I want them to know I'm all in for them, and I want them to lead us. They are so important to this nation. If you're thinking about, you know, service, lead us and this nation, and you will be so very successful. So
that's quite a transformational story, Major General. I really hope our listeners are taking notes of this. I'm also curious, when you think about how do you see technology driving the recruiting efforts, but also people's careers in the military, their access to technology, the use of technology. I mean, nowhere do we play with more sophisticated technology toys than in the military.
Well, sir, thanks. That's a great question. And technology's come a long way. We all live it. I mean, if certainly what I remember growing up, when a recruiter contacted me, it was on the phone that was connected to the wall that had the 20-foot cord so I could walk around the kitchen. But we've come a long way. We have, you know, access to not social media, cell phones. That's like everyone carries one. I don't think I've had a phone hooked to my wall in a house in the last, 10 years. So that just tells you we have to have a better way of connecting with the current generation. And that's how I'm trying to work with our team to transform how we connect with the public. And so, and that gets after that awareness and relatability piece that I talked about and the things that we're working on. So let me give you an idea of what just happened in the last 24 hours. So I wanted to send a note to all those that showed interest in the United States Army just from my city of Milwaukee. So I put together a note, and we have this new system here that we call Go Recruit that allows me to go in, create a message, and send it to a specific portion of the nation based off of the zip codes to those who've shown interest in joining the Army. So this went out, just a simple note for me. Hey, I'm a cheesehead from, Wisconsin. I joined the Army, and here's the GoArmy.com link. 65,000 loan repayment, up to $50,000 bonus, station of choice. That's all I put. And happy holidays. I love you all. I'm just, just like you. So I sent that, and I put the battalion commander as the POC. He doesn't like that now. So I sent this out yesterday to 19,000, your future applicants. Within minutes, the battalion commander received a number of not only Instagram messages, email, because I put all of that contact information showing, hey, I was interested maybe 2 years ago. Now I saw General Davis's messages. I like to get more involved. So this is unfolding as we speak. So that tells you how we connect. We've come a long way, and I want to make it better each and every day.
That's a fantastic story. So many companies have turned the switch as well. And I see a parallel. I think about organizations like big companies like Walmart, Amazon, McDonald's. They've looked at their talent very differently over the past 10 years. And they've said, okay, we have all these inexperienced people coming into frontline jobs, and they leave very quickly. And so what do we need to do to retain them? And so each and every one of those organizations has put together upskilling programs. And those programs, they have found, statistically speaking, have kept people in the roles longer. And so I'm curious, in an analogous way, do you see that people are staying longer in the military because of all these support measures that you're taking on, improvements to housing, improvements to medical and care?
Sir, that's a great question. And I'll tell you, those that join the military, the Army's current retention rates are some of the highest we've seen. So those who are in uniform are now starting to see the nation's investment in housing, in paid allowances, in all of the quality of life things that are so important to a family growing up and their investment in our future. So I will tell, and sir, that's just one aspect. Then in terms of the education and all of that, that's another area that's so very important.
So listeners and viewers, you've been joining me to listen in on my conversation with Major General Johnny Davis of the U.S. Recruiting Command for the U.S. Army in Fort Knox. It's been an incredible conversation listening to the not only the forces that have been disrupting talent and talent acquisition and development and training, but also some of the innovative ways that the military has stepped up to make service in the military even more compelling proposition at a time when global conflicts and the world at large require us to be mission ready and require us to be ready to leave at a moment's notice and crush it. So, Major General, as we conclude this episode, any last thoughts that you'd like to leave our audience with?
Yeah, sir. Thanks. And first of all, thanks for the opportunity. I love each and every one of you. You're so near and dear to me. Again, I'm just like you. I love my service, but more importantly, I love sharing what we are doing because this is, I think, so important. As I serve this nation, the nation is invested in me, and it's all about the people. It's all about the people. And one of the things I want to share lastly, sir, is that I love that we have a very educated force. I mean, about 32% of our enlisted soldiers, staff sergeant below, have a college degree. This is the statistics that we have going on. That's why retention's off the charts. We have 53% with bachelor's degrees, 20% with master's degree, 19% or 8% with doctorates. This is our force.
That's good. Impressive.
And this is the nation investing in them. So when you talk about tuition assistance, again, the Army sent me, you know, to two graduate schools throughout my career and paid for it and took care of me and my family while I was focused writing those papers late night. But bottom line, we're not done there. And our investment in terms of like cyber, you know, pilots, doctors, and nurses, we go all in when it comes to investing in our future because, you know, our cyber warriors are some of the best trained in the world. And our, you know, our pilots, you know, we just, you know, there's such demand for this talent in the armed force. I think everyone that's listening in knows that, and we will continue to invest. But sir, again, thanks. I love each and every one of you. Happy holidays. God bless you, and appreciate the opportunity to share my story.
Thank you, Major General Johnny Davis. This has been a privilege and an honor for me, both as the Chief Community Affairs Officer for the Alliance for Adult Education and as the host of Disrupted, to host this extremely distinguished guest. So please join me in thanking Major General for sharing his time with us today. And I am compelled to make an invitation to have you back because you're doing so many things. And I'd love to talk with you more about the cyber warriors that you're training and some of the other areas that people don't necessarily expect to get trained in when they enter a career in service. So if you might be so available, we'd love to have you back on the show to talk more about that.
Yes, sir. I would make myself available for you and the listeners anytime.
Fantastic. Again, this has been Ron Stefanski with yet another episode of Disrupt Ed. Join us and get disrupted with us. Share your feedback, share your comments on our show, on our feed, and join us for an upcoming episode with the Major General talking about specific career development efforts that are ongoing in the U.S. military and specifically in the U.S. Army. Thanks again for joining us. Until next time.